Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight earned a degree from MSU's School of Hotel, Restaurant, and Institutional Management. He opened his first restaurant in 1992, and he now has 33. He's the owner and president of BD's Mongolian Barbecue, which is a shining example of mass customization. He's also completed 3 Ironman triathlons, in which you swim 2.4 miles, bike 112 miles, and then run 26.2 miles. His name, Billy Downs, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now here's Jack.
We're with the owner and president of BD's Mongolian Barbecue, Billy Downs. Billy, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thanks, Jack. It's a pleasure being here today.
Can you start by talking about your childhood and your mom and dad?
I sure can. Yes, I grew up in the Detroit area. In fact, I grew up in Northville, Michigan, and went to Detroit Catholic Central High School. Product of a divorced family remarriage, but for that and our family, it's been a very positive thing as we've had extra resources and parents and grandparents around, and everybody supported all the kids, and just a terrific opportunities that were provided for us, locally here to get involved in many different things. And our parents encouraged us to, play a lot of sports and to do well in school, and We took advantage of those opportunities and just have a terrific family here locally.
What did you learn from your parents?
Well, probably different things from different parts of the family. All of our my parents, my two sets, hardworking people, cared a ton about kids and investing them. In fact, my mom, that was the most important thing in her life was her kids. And mostly from my dad in particular, he had his own business, and I got to see him as an entrepreneur and watch that. Although there wasn't a lot of, one-on-one teaching going on, there was a lot of learning through osmosis and watching what was going on. But my dad was a great athlete in high school and college, and always, tried to do the best in everything that he did. And that kind of washed down to us kids about trying to be the best in everything that we did.
If we went back to Catholic Central, reunion with all of your buddies, would they say they saw that you were an entrepreneur way back then?
That's a really good question. I would say yes, and that it probably blossomed more in other parts of our family. For example, my youngest brother, Brian, Catholic Central has a drive, a raffle ticket drive, and to date, my brother is the highest salesperson ever in that. But I think I did well during the drive time myself. I think he ended up selling about 4 times as much as I ever did. But I got involved in student politics, and we have a terrific sports day at Catholic Central called Armageddon Day, where we just go out and Armageddon's kind of total war, and it's against the classes, the freshmen, the sophomores. And I actually led that 1 year. So, and getting involved in, was given a lot of freedom to do things there. But yeah, I'd say the entrepreneurial spirit was there. One thing that even when I was in high school is that I started working at a very early age. All through high school, I had jobs, whether it was a newspaper route or working at the scooping ice cream down in the corner or working in restaurants. Always had different jobs that helped provide me with income so I could do the things that I wanted to do.
You go to MSU, you get a degree in hotel, restaurant, and institutional management, and then you leave, go across the pond to London. Why'd you go to London, and what did you do in London?
Well, sometimes in life it's not what you know, is it? It's who you know. And through a course of you put yourself in a position to be lucky by working hard, but made some contacts, and especially my father was huge in this. And in London, England, my dad had a friend who had invested in a business that was performing okay, not terrifically. And during my junior year, at Michigan State, I was able to go over and work in this restaurant slash pub in London, and did an internship there. And it became part of my my schooling. And while I was there, this pub had a terrific summer, made some money for the first time in a long time. And the owners really enjoyed having me there and what I did. And as we kind of go later in life, I was able to be rehired by that company when they opened a Mongolian restaurant a couple years later in London.
Rumor on the street is that you've been known to sing in some of these Irish pubs.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's. My singing is definitely not a high point in my life or today. I won't be singing for you today, Jack.
But, talk about Mongolian-style cooking.
Sure, sure. Well, the concept of Mongolian barbecue cooking came in the days of Genghis Khan back in the 12th century when the Mongol Empire was the largest empire in the history of the world. And literally after a day's fighting, the Mongol warriors would take their shields, flip them upside down, and cook on them. And this became known as Mongolian barbecue. And the leaders of the Khans would actually cook in a more communal style and on a flat hot plate that they carry around with them. The Mongols left this style of cooking all over, Europe to the Far East and Southeast Asia. And as the empire collapsed and they went back to Mongolia, they kind of abandoned that form of cooking. But still, if you go to Turkey or Taiwan, you'll find Mongolian barbecues today.
And they just cooked whatever they captured?
Whatever they captured. And we don't want to go into too many details on this show what they might have eaten. But anyways, mostly it was whatever could be stir-fried up on the plate.
We're talking to Billy Downs. When we come back, we'll ask him how it was in 1992 he decided to start his own restaurant. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Billy Downs. It's 1992, Billy, and you decide to open a restaurant. Tell us about that.
So we're going back to 1992 right now. 1992, well, it actually starts, obviously, back in London where we found the concept and were successful after a couple of years of working in London and partnered up with the partners there. I did come from a great family, but we didn't have a ton of cash and saved a little bit of money myself. And then they were the initial seed capital that helped us get started. But as we came back from London, I had been out of the Detroit market for a number of years and had to do some research and figure out which city would be the best to try a new concept in. You know, and I looked around and we were looking in Detroit and we were looking in Royal Oak and Ann Arbor and finalized on Royal Oak we thought would be the best for this concept. And I joined the Chamber of Commerce first. I went there and I'd heard about this dynamic director of the Chamber of Commerce named Jean Chamberlain. And she's worked a long time, by the way, for Brooks Patterson over the years. And just if there's any one great person that had a huge amount to do with our opening outside of our company, it was Jean Chamberlain. And I presented my business plan to Jean, and she helped to pave the way through the city of Royal Oak to help us get a liquor license and helped us to find the property, and she was truly a big help. And in 1992, we opened up right on Main Street and in a small 90-seat restaurant at 310 South Main, and it was an exciting time. In fact, it was a nervous time because I didn't know if everybody was going to like what we were doing. But we were lucky to have a writer by the name of Molly Abraham take an interest in the project. And our first Friday open, she had already reviewed our restaurant. She had been in there earlier in the week, and although we didn't get the most stars that we would have liked, they were lined up down the street and around the block to come and try our brand out. So that was how we got started there in 1992.
Your initial investment was $25,000, and also you signed a note for $100,000. Back then, Billy, a $50 mistake, a $500 mistake, that was huge. Now there's just more zeros behind those mistakes. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, well, I think that today... like you said, a $50 mistake was a big mistake. In today's economy, it's amazing how even $50 mistakes can still be big mistakes. We have so much more pressure on our business from the costs that we have to pay for everything, you know, and the downward pressure from consumers to only want to spend so much, where I think in 92 we seem to have a little more flexibility on that part. So although the numbers have changed and we certainly have a lot more debt than we did back then, you know, it's still a game of pennies. And while pennies still exist, the restaurant industry does try and, you know, make, and a lot of people, you know, you ask a consumer, how much money do you think a restaurant will make out of a dollar? And it is amazing how off they are, because really it's just out of $1, it may be 3 or 4 cents, and most people don't realize that.
Your restaurant is a shining example of mass customization. What does mass customization mean to you?
Well, to me, from BD's perspective, it is you know, having the ability to provide choices for everybody of exactly what they want. You know, BD's mass customization is kind of the iPod of food. You can go through and pick out exactly what you want. For those who aren't familiar with our concept, it is a create your own stir fry concept where you go through and you pick out different meats or vegetables or seafood items, and then you choose sauces to go along with that or spices, and then you take it up to our grill, and on a large flat hot plate, that Mongolian barbecue style grill, we cook it up for you. And we also have a soup and salad bar and desserts and a full complement of drinks. And but it is really, it's the ability to create exactly what you want. That's the mass customization part.
Today, Billy Downs BD Mongolian Restaurant, and the BD stands for Billy Downs. You have 33 restaurants, 2,500 teammates / employees. Last year's revenue was about $65 million. Billy, how did that happen?
How did that happen? Well, I can definitely say that, you know, there's a lot of hard work that went into play. There's, if you really, really come down to what happened, we have a great concept and you have to have a great location, but it's the people that makes the difference. It really is. And I've been lucky to be surrounded with a lot of great people, from you know, teammates to management to upper management to franchisees. And we are a franchise system. Although we're based out of Detroit, we have company restaurants here in Detroit and Chicago and Denver. But we're in 11 states, and the balance of those states are through franchising. And we see franchising as a terrific vehicle to go forward with. And so it's so important that we do select the right people to run these restaurants. It's just so key.
Speaking of people, what do you look for when you hire an employee?
Well, we kind of look for what we call shiny, happy people. And we stole that kind of from REM, the band, and they had a song all about shiny, happy people. But when you hear the word shiny, happy people, what do you think of? You know, people who are smiling, people who are outgoing, people who are happy. And when you go to a restaurant and the people are happy, it helps to make you enjoy your experience a little bit better. So we definitely look for shiny, happy people. And it is something that it was, when we first started, you know, I would handpick the people. And our first 25 employees, literally myself or my wife, handpicked everybody who ran that restaurant. And my wife was instrumental in the beginning, in the early days. She worked side by side with me for about 5 or 6 years. And when we opened our second restaurant, we did the exact same thing. We handpicked a lot of the people that worked there, looking for those shiny, happy people. When we opened our third restaurant, which happened to be in Chicago at the time, although the hiring went well, it might have not been as perfect. And as our training went out there, it wasn't to the same standards we had started in Detroit. So we kind of cocooned a little bit, regrouped, and started to write down the things that we were doing and what types of people we were looking for. And today now we have a very intricate system of questions that we'll ask for. There's things that we'll look for just in general, your outward appearance, but we're going to dig down deep in an interview process by a couple different people and try and find out if you're not only shiny happy, but you actually care. So we have a system of questions that are proprietary to find out whether that new teammate actually cares.
A lot of people are thinking, a lot of couples are thinking about starting their own business. When it's a couple that's working, how was it that you and Amy were successful together?
Oh, that is a good question. I think the main thing is that we complement each other, that we each have strengths that are different. For myself, I was a lot the person that was out in the front of the restaurant, and Amy had some terrific administrative skills that helped to complement my, lack of organization in my life. And so I think that's a crucial thing. I think if you have two people that are strong in the same areas, you might bump heads, and might not be as successful, but we were really a compliment. And today, that's, I think, why our marriage is successful, is that we have different things we bring to the marriage at different times, and that we do respect and care for the other person and let them blossom in those areas that they're successful.
we're more and more we're being told to eat healthier. Our menus are changing. Vegetarians, vegans, natural foods, etc. Talk about that whole initiative.
Well, I think that the brand as a whole has been ahead of the curve on that healthiness. Although we had an aspect, and we're still in our menu, that is an all-you-can-eat part. Back in mid-90s, about 80% of our customers would come in and have all-you-can-eat. Today, that's flip-flopped the exact opposite way, and 80% of the customers come in and have one bowl and are much more aware of what they're eating and focused on portion size and eating healthier. It is still amazing to me today, with all the awareness, with all the talk, that people are out there still eating a ton of terrible stuff. And it is obesity is an epidemic, and it's terrible to see the young kids right here in our city and in other cities that are getting bad advice and are choosing to eat unhealthy, heavily saturated foods, high in fat. And I think that BD's is one that's been ahead of the curve, is perfect for where consumer trends are going in terms of eating healthier. And we just need to, Jack. We just have to eat better. Because it's the way to go. I'm excited because there is a change. We're starting to see people embrace the healthy aspects. I was worried in the 90s to tell people we're a healthy restaurant because of a pushback. People wouldn't want to go there. And people are starting to embrace it more and more, but we have a long way to go.
If there's a listener that wants to learn more about BD's, how do they do that?
Well, the easiest thing is to go to our website, which is gomongo.com, GOMONGO.com. And we have lots of information there on the website from where the restaurants are located, our menu, pricing, interested in join the company, our HR section there. Everything's on our website. We are in 11 states, and you can call the restaurants directly, and all the numbers are on the website also.
We're talking to Billy Downs, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Billy Downs, who in 2006 was named Cornerstone Humanitarian by the National Restaurant Association. Cornerstone Humanitarian. Anybody that meets you for a minute or two, Billy Downs, says, this is one shiny, happy person. A lot of people feel that if you're going to have a company where you want the employees to have fun, it won't be successful. You've proven them wrong. How have you done that?
Well, I think maybe it's a little bit of the factor is our industry, the restaurant industry, because if you're going to go in as a consumer into a restaurant and it's not fun, there's a chance that you won't go back. So I think that it was a natural for our industry to embrace fun and celebrating with our teammates. Really, our core values, they start off with having fun and making money. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's all about the company making money. It really is that everybody who works at BD's needs to make money. If you come in as a teammate and you're going to wait tables or be a griller, you need to make some money. That's why your driving force or your purpose really to be there is to make money to provide you with other stuff, whether it's shelter, food, spending money, a car, whatever it is. So that's why we get people. So having fun was just such a natural. And I also, had a couple experiences where it weren't so fun right before I opened BD's. And because of those, it gave me that extra motivation to make sure we had a tremendous amount of fun. And I had worked in environments in my past that were lots of fun, and there was a place that I wanted to stay. So we created this system where you have fun and you make money.
It's 2005, and you decide to open a restaurant in the capital of Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar. Why?
Great question. Why? The answer is, and then I'll tell you the story, is to do nothing was wrong. That is the reason we did it. But we went to Mongolia on the invitation of a successful restaurant tour named Yusinmurk, who had invited us to come over and see what he was doing. This is a man who grew up under communism, who started the scouting program, actually, was involved with a lot of youth in Mongolia, and then became an entrepreneur and opened up small businesses, a couple restaurants. He had heard from some of his friends who had traveled around the globe that BD's did Mongolian barbecue better than anybody in the world. And so he wanted to invite us over to share with him. So we accepted an invitation, went over there, and he showed us his restaurants. He showed us the terrific parts of Mongolia, the beauty of Mongolia. It's endless plains, and they actually call it steep, rolling steep. And we spent time in the countryside, and we spent time with nomadic families, people that lived like the American Indians and still live like that today. And we also saw the tough parts of Mongolia, the third world country that lacks infrastructure and money, where there's a lot of poverty and a lot of bad things that happen in its capital city and other large cities in Mongolia. And upon leaving that trip, this man, Yusimurk, just presented us with the option to potentially partner with them. You know, he said, well, I would like to open a Mongolian barbecue restaurant and reintroduce that concept back to Mongolia. And I'd like to do it with you. And I was excited about that. The natural for us is we did franchising. So we established literally a non-profit franchise there that we supported. We helped them get up. We helped finance originally. And that provided jobs. And these people could come in and make money for themselves as opposed to us having to give them handouts. You can give a man a fish, correct? Or you can teach a man to fish. And that's what we did. Is we taught them how to fish. And they opened this restaurant. And also agreed that after it was profitable, that they would give money back to the community and help children's programs, specifically one organization called the Mongolian Youth Development Foundation. So the restaurant did open in 2005, in fact, Mother's Day weekend of 2005, and in 2006 had a terrific year and was voted by the Tourism Association as the number one restaurant to go to in Mongolia and by the government as the safest place to eat in Mongolia.
What has this experience taught you, Billy Downs?
Well, we are so blessed here in the United States. Everything you want is at your fingertips. Even when we have, and there are many tough things going on in and around us. And but it is amazing the resources that we have here, even if things are tough. And in a third world country like Mongolia, where simple things like fresh water are hard to get, you realize how truly blessed you are. And I think that was, just such a motivator for us to we've been successful here with this concept, trading off the goodwill of this and heritage of this country. And we decided this was the best thing for us to do, and it was the right thing to do.
What have you learned from the Mongolian people?
That is amazing. You know, if you were to visit a Mongolian family, they are happy people, and they don't have anything compared to what we have. They are just happy, just enjoying their time with their family, enjoying enough food to happen now to have to eat. When we started this project out, they weren't necessarily they were under Buddhism for a long time, and the Russians, when they came in the 20th century, kind of got rid of all the religion in the nation, and they're embracing now all types of different religions. And as we kind of go there, so it's not that they give thanks to a certain god or whatever, they're just happy with what they have. And sometimes to be content with what you have is an amazing thing. And here we are, can be somewhat of a miserable people sometimes, and we have a lot. So sometimes it's not all the stuff you have, and just enjoying the time with the people around you.
When we were having lunch at your restaurant a few weeks ago, somehow the phrase came up, let go and let God. Talk about that, Billy Downs.
Well, if I go back, I've been pretty much a control freak since a young age. Wanted to be in control of everything. And if I was needed money to go to the movies when I was a kid, then I had the control. I would go out and earn the money and be able to go to the movies. Or if I want a new baseball mitt. And again, we had a family of six kids. Parents did the best they could, but there wasn't a lot of extra money sloshing around. So if you went to your parents and you asked for cash, there's a good chance that the answer is going to be no. And that was something I wanted to take control of, that situation. So as I kind of went through and, started the company up and grew the business and tried to push this thing in a certain direction. Many years I felt like I was a snowplow as the leader of this organization, just plowing forward and pushing as many people in the direction I wanted to go. And then over time, I just realized that, I'm not in control. and that other things are going to be affecting the business that I have absolutely no control over. The fact that we're going about going into, or in Detroit at least, we've been in a tough economy for the last couple of years, and a recession nationally is on the horizon. You know, those are things I can't control. So, you know, there was a time as I grew in my faith over the last 4 or 5 years that I just decided to let go. And there was a key moment on an airplane flying across the United States where I just literally let God have control of the business. And I remember just handing the business to him out the window of the airplane and setting it into the clouds. And since that day forward, it's amazing what things have happened with the business and the people around it. So many positive things that I know are not in my control and are God things.
If there's a listener tonight, or a lot of listeners tonight, who are facing changes in their life, uncertainty about their job, their family, and they're listening and they're saying, wow, I'd love to do that, Billy Downs, but I can't do that. What do you tell them?
Good question, Jack. You know, I think that I think that God has given you free will, and God has given you some gifts, and he's asking you to use those gifts. And if you're using those gifts in the right way, and you do let it go and give it to him, and you work smart, you know, listen to God and pray, then I think there'll be a chance that good things will happen. And it is tough, but, you know, the Bible said it's not going to be easy. So why not give it to him? Because you're not going to be able to control everything anyways.
Billy Downs, what does the term servant leadership mean to you?
Oh, great, great question. I think a servant leader is someone who is there to take care of the people that are around him or her. And we saw at the Last Supper when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And, you know, every day, you know, I have to go out and I have the people that are around me, and I try to provide them with the best work environment that they can, to listen to their needs and to take care of them. And it's throughout our entire culture that's taken care of. And I think that servant leader grows respect from their people, and it certainly is a great quality of a leader.
We're talking to Billy Downs. When we come back, we'll talk to him about deciding to become a triathlete. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Billy Downs, who earlier this year received the Friendship Award from the President of Mongolia. Way to go, Billy. Let's jump back to 2001. You're 35 years old. You're 5'10 and a half. You weigh 210 pounds. And you decide you're going to start to run. Tell us about that.
Well, I was motivated definitely by my partner, Matthew Kirby, who was my English partner, and a couple other guys in the office who were embracing fitness and thought that I should join in with them. And literally, it happened like this, Jack. They said, Billy, and this is a guy who hadn't run more than 2 miles in his life. Although I was active and I enjoy sports, basketball, and that kind of stuff, I wasn't a runner. I swam when I was a young kid, had a broken up bicycle, and they said, we have signed you up for a triathlon. So, as you know, I can take a challenge. So, I'll do that. So, I went out and with these guys, I did my first triathlon. And I trained okay, but not terrifically. I think, you know, it was not the highest priority in my life at the time, but I struggled through. And I remember finishing the race. It was the Ann Arbor Triathlon 2001, and I was about a half mile away from the finish, and I caught one of the younger guys from our office who was doing the event, who was in a lot better shape than I was, and he was having a little bit of an off day, but needless to say, I caught him. And I finished that last half mile with him side by side, and I remember having so much fun, and it was just the adrenaline was pumping, and I said, I'm going to do another one of these. And that's kind of how it all started.
Now you weigh 170 pounds. You've completed 3 Ironmen. That's where you swim 2.4 miles. You bike 112 miles. and then you run a marathon, 26.2. The first one you did in 13 hours and 45 minutes. Then you cut an hour off the second one. The last one was 12 hours and 10 minutes. Your fourth one later this year, what's the goal?
11:30. 11 hours and 30 minutes. We need to beat that mark. We're going to be in Penticton, British Columbia at Ironman Canada. So what an exciting talk about a journey on this one. I don't know how you're wired, but I'm wired this way. You know, you face a challenge and you accomplish the goal, and then you kind of look out and say, what's next? And with triathlon in particular, I had so much fun with the first triathlon, I signed up for another one. And of course, I wanted to do better than the last one. And then when I started to do better, I started to want to go longer distances. And the gentleman who signed me up, they have kind of all but abandoned triathlon, and I am one of two survivors, I should say. My buddy Dave still does this, but inevitably it kind of became, I want to do a half Ironman distance, and then I wanted to put my sights on the big one, doing an Ironman. And so in 2004, I joined a team and helped to sponsor that team. It was provided a great opportunity and trained with some Ironman triathletes and finished my first one up. And now it's kind of just wanting to do better. And I think as long as I have opportunity to improve, I will still do this. I think it's terrific. I have kept the weight off. I'm able to eat really whatever. I love eating. Food is great. And I've learned how to eat multiple times during the day. I used to eat three meals, and now I'm five or six meals a day, smaller portions, and it just works so much better for my body. I'm able to keep the weight off. I feel healthier. My metabolism is better. And I do most of my training in the morning before work so I can get it in. It's an exciting time, and my family has truly embraced Ironman. They've been to all the races. My daughter, Abigail, in fact, at age 11, will do her first triathlon this year. And, my wife is motivated, and although she doesn't do triathlon, she does work out a lot. And our whole family is really into fitness as well as eating right.
If there's a listener out there tonight who's 20 or 30 pounds overweight, out of shape, he or she is 40, 50, 55, what encouragement, advice do you give to that listener?
You know, especially for the people who, would be considered struggling physically, hurting, maybe even the obese category, I want to let you know that I have seen some of the largest people finish an Ironman triathlon. Do something. Get off the couch. Television is a resource for us and is a entertainment device, but it's not the almighty. We can't be watching every single, reality TV show that there is out there. And go do something. If you work out a half hour a day, 3 or 4 days a week, it's amazing what can happen to your body. I will tell you one quick story. At my last Ironman, there was a lady approximately 40 years old who had lost 170 pounds on her journey to finish the Ironman triathlon. 170 pounds. And she finished that race in about 16 hours. You have 17 hours to finish, so it took her the whole day. But it was amazing, and it was a goal that helped to motivate her to lose the weight that she needed to. And she is a much healthier person today because of that.
Billy, you have a can-do attitude. You've got the courage to dream big. If there's somebody that wants that, how do they get that?
Well, it definitely comes from within. That's for sure. You can be motivated by people around you for certain. Sometimes you may go through a life-changing event that will motivate you. But I think the true motivation is to figure out what makes you happy and then set some goals along that way. Some people like food. It's a simple thing. Well, you can't just eat and eat and eat. You must put other things into your life that allow you to enjoy a piece of chocolate cake at the end of the day. So if you like money or you need financial resources to do other things that you want in this life, then you need to set goals along those ways. So it comes from within, and I challenge you to find a passion and find a purpose and go out and do something.
What is success to Billy Downs?
Well, at this point, at age 42, I kind of, starting to probably looking at my life as probably at least halfway over, or, I'm going to try and stay alive as long as I can, Jack, by the way. If I keep doing these Ironmans, and I told Amy, my wife, again, she is a huge part of my success, and I just love her so much, that I was going to do 50 Ironmen one day. I think I freaked her out. But I do look at this part, I'm in a race here, and I want to finish this race well, and there's so much more I have to do and so much more I have to offer to Detroit, to my family, to this world, that I'm excited about the future, and I want to finish the race well.
What do you say to a couple tonight listening who says, boy, this couple gives back, they're the whole package, but we're too young now to give back. We'll give back when we're 50, 60, 65 years old.
You got to give as you go. You have to give as you go. And it is amazing. The more that I think that Amy and I give and our family gives, it's amazing what comes back to you so much quicker, whether it's financial resources or time, whether it's getting involved in your church, in your community, whatever it is. For us, we have so many different communities we're members of, you know, our church community, our neighborhood community, our business community, even with the restaurants, the 33 restaurants, those are individual communities in each where they're located. And now we've got this extension all the way to Mongolia. So we have found in our own personal life so far that giving, you get so much more back, and don't wait.
Last question, Billy Downs. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, I tell you, set your goals high. Don't be afraid to try things out. And have fun along the way. Smell the roses. It's okay. Because things are out there, everything's going against you. There's so many negative messages every day out there. You just keep a smile on your face. I remember I used to give out watches to people, the smiley face watches, just to remind them to have fun. Jack, it's awesome, you know, to be here on your show and to look back at the last 15 years of the business, to be in a position to give back. And I tell you, I encourage the young people that even though you might see all these negative things out there, that there's a lot of positive in this world, and you need to go find it.
Billy Downs, a lot of people ask me in this state, are our best days over? Do we have hope? Will we thrive again? And I say, it's going to be from the business leaders in this community, and you're one of them. Thanks for all you do. 2,500 families you help earn a living. Keep it up. Great job. Our guest next Sunday, Palm Sunday, will be a repeat guest, Father John Ricardo. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Stay home.